You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Real Short Box. My name is Darren.
And my name is Supreme Chancellor Dr. Kevin.
And I am Laird Donald of the famous Scottish Lairds of the McClellan clan.
And he has a coat of arms to prove it, ladies and gentlemen.
That I do.
And he owns 1/1000th of a piece of acre of property or something like that.
That I also do.
Well, usually we banter a little bit to start off the show and see how everything's doing. But considering we have quite a full half hour coming up here, we're going to just jump right to it. So we are going to start maybe doing more of these. We're going to see how this one works out, where we're going to do a spotlight of actors. So naturally, this is a comic book podcast. However, we all have a love for movies, and we wanted to do a bit of a spotlight and go over each of our choices for the best, worst, most underrated, most overrated films of Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, Sylvester Stallone. Famous for the movie Oscar.
Fanucci's.
And Tango and Cash.
Tango and motherfucking Cash. That's true.
And my favorite line in Tango Cash, of course, is Rambo is a pussy.
Wow.
Yeah, classic stuff. Or, you know, the guy from Blade Runner, Leon, who gets a grenade down his pants.
Yeah. The grenade down the pants always hurts.
Brian Johnson.
Quite painful.
Right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump right in, right out of the gate. I am going to say, let's first of all go with our most overrated Sylvester Stallone film. For my most overrated, I'm going with Creed. In my opinion, Creed, it shows a massive disconnect between the generations of which the movie was made. So, of course, the fighting's more modern. All that stuff's more modern. We get all that. My issue is with the Adonis Creed character. I don't feel like he carries it with the same authenticity and energy that Sylvester Stallone did. Like, I really bought in Rocky that Stallone was a deadbeat who was basically on his last dollar. I mean, apparently he had $100 left in his checking account before he made the movie. And his performance in Creed gets lauded as one of the finest of his career, and I'm just not feeling it. Like, I don't see anything new with this Rocky character. Obviously, I'm thrilled to death that they didn't make him succumb to cancer. That would have been the absolute worst. But there's a lot of dramatic scenes here between Tessa Thompson and Michael B. Jordan that just don't work for me the same way they do with Rocky and Adrian. And I just think that this movie got way too much praise way too early. The soundtrack doesn't work for me. The overall energy of the movie doesn't work for me. For me, it's just an all right film. There's some impressive moments, don't get me wrong. I think the boxing action is very good, but I'm just not blown away.
It's too long. That's one of my major complaints. It's just too long. I didn't need a Rocky film to be this long still to this day. I feel like we can get in and out one, you know, and be done in an hour and a half, 90 minutes, you know, and it just doesn't feel like it's necessary to create such an intricate story for a boxing movie.
No, yeah, they could have said a few minutes here and there, but I have to disagree with you a little bit, Darren. I thought the bond and the rapport between Rocky and Adonis, I thought was pretty good. I actually liked the connection of Rocky kind of taking on the Mick role. I actually enjoyed that. You know, you're seeing how Rocky's been doing all these years and how he's, you know, going through what he's going through without having Adrian around or without having, oh my goodness, what's her brother's name?
Polly,
without having Polly around. You know, it's kind of like a new world for him, a new life, you know, and of course his son is estranged from him. So I actually like that part, you know. You know, he's missing something and kind of Adonis kind of fills something, you know, kind of like a missing void there. It kind of filled a void for him in a way. And also it's a way to kind of reconnect to his old friend Apollo. So I don't know. I like the movie. Is it the greatest movie of all time? No, of course not. But I thought it's a great way to reboot the series, in my humble opinion.
Well, this is what we call, this is why I use it in the category of overrated. I think that they were talking about Stallone getting an Oscar nomination and all this.
He did.
I didn't see it. I just didn't see the quality of the work. That's my opinion. But Kevin, since you got the floor, what is your choice for most overrated Stallone film?
Well, I'll say Rocky IV.
I can't argue much.
You know, Kevin, I'm with you on that. I actually have Rocky IV as well, but I also have it tied with another movie I'll bring up in a moment.
Okay. Yeah, you know, Rocky IV, and of course, as a kid, it's awesome. I mean, it's still awesome now. It has its moments, but when you look at it, it's kind of a silly film in many respects, you know? First of all, you saw what Drago did to his buddy Apollo. Now, for him to take all those punches and still somehow have his head connected to his body doesn't make any sense. And Apollo is technically stronger than Rocky in that respect, physically speaking. So how is it that somehow, some way, he goes to Russia, even though he's training hard, he's doing his thing, and he yells out, "Drago! Drago!" You know, that's all cool, but at the end of the day, when you look at this matchup, there's just no way. There's just no freaking way.
Apollo was showboating. That's the problem. And then that's the story. That's a narrative they wanted to tell. If you showboat, you get comeuppance, so to speak. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no doubt he kind of did like, you know, his Ultimate Warrior thing. You know, you blow half your energy by the time the fight starts. But still, I mean, hey, it's kind of cool. You're dancing with James Brown and doing your thing. But you're right. He was overconfident. He didn't take the fight seriously. And yes, he paid the ultimate price. Although I'm still mad. Should have threw the towel, damn it, Rocky. Throw that towel in, brother.
Yeah, throwing in a towel would have been very simple, very easy fix to that. And I'm glad they course corrected that with Creed.
Creed 2.
Yeah, Creed 2. Thank you. Which was a smart decision.
Just one quick remark. I mean, overrated. I almost border on this is almost one of his poorer films. I just cannot stand the basic discovery of MTV style of movie making, where basically when he goes to Russia, there's almost no dialogue for minutes and minutes and minutes. It's just music and training, and it's just not good storytelling in my view. Donald, what are your thoughts on an overrated film of Sylvester Stallone's?
Well, if I could change, you can change.
Right. Interestingly enough, I did have Rocky IV, but I had a slash here written down with Cobra.
Ah.
Overrated. That's an interesting choice for overrated. That movie doesn't get a lot of respect normally.
I think it does in the B movie world, to be honest. And I think a lot of people like it just because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't find it to be ridiculous enough to be entertaining. I find it to be ridiculous in the fact that it's just ridiculous. If you're going to cut a pizza with a pair of scissors, go fuck yourself. I don't want to watch any more of your bullshit. Whoever does that, you're disgusting. You're a disgusting human being.
Jeez, man, that's vicious. Good Lord.
Kevin, any other thoughts on Cobra?
The car's cool.
Yeah. See?
I mean, I personally do enjoy Cobra. I mean, there's a weird story behind it. Cobra was actually supposed to be an action comedy starring Eddie Murphy. And Beverly Hills Cop was actually supposed to be an action movie starring Sylvester Stallone.
That's true.
They didn't switch the script, so the only funny thing in Beverly Hills Cop was Eddie Murphy's improv, and there were still funny jokes in Cobra, despite the fact it was taken deathly serious.
Yeah, which makes it almost comical to this day now. It's very funny, very, very interesting way to switch that around and reverse the script, so to speak. What do we have? We had the most overrated. What about the most underrated, Darren? What do you think?
I'm going to go with Cliffhanger.
Wow.
Now, this is a bit of a gem that I think gets forgotten quite a bit. So Cliffhanger is really not the type of film you would expect Sylvester Stallone to do. This is this kind of Die Hard on a Mountain thing. Doesn't really scream Stallone. But it works really well for me because we have to think about Rennie Harlan's direction. One of his better supporting cast he's ever had in a movie between Michael Rooker and John Lithgow. You've got a film here where the opening scene of Cliffhanger is quite iconic to most action filmgoers.
It's so iconic that Ace Ventura 2 actually parodied it.
And I remember my teacher at the time, Miss Primavera, in the seventh grade, my English teacher, she said that that movie permanently scared her from mountain climbing.
Wow.
So, but great action here, really holds up nicely as a 90s style action film. But that's going to be my vote for underrated. What about you, Donald?
My vote for underrated, silly enough, I'm going to go with Judge Dredd.
Ooh.
I am the law.
I think Judge Dredd is actually a whole hell of a lot of fun. I think it took a lot of shit because in the comic books, Dredd never takes his helmet off. He always keeps it on. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, Stallone needed his FaceTime, so they made the agreement where he could be seen without his helmet on. We have a great villain. In the villain, his name is escaping me.
Armand Assante?
Yes, Armand Assante. Thank you. He was fantastic as the villain in this. And we have a great sidekick in Rob Schneider, again in Judge Dredd. And we have a great story. I think it's really good. It's a guy that gets, you know, he gets wrongfully accused, and then he has to redeem himself and figure out the issue in the whole scheme of things. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of justice. And it's a fun ride. I really, really, really like Judge Dredd, and I highly recommend it to anybody that's willing to listen.
Yeah, a potentially great film that just ended up being a good film, in my view. I've watched that movie many times, and I've quite enjoyed it. Kevin, do you have thoughts on Judge Dredd?
Oh, I agree with everything you say. It's a fun movie. It hasn't gotten the proper respect it deserves over the last 27 years or so. So I agree with you gentlemen wholeheartedly.
What do you have for an underrated film, Kevin?
Oh, you guys are going to like this. At least I hope you do. I think this 80-minute film from 1975 is underrated with Sylvester Stallone. Death Race 2000.
Oh, God.
Wow. I don't know about that one, but yeah, sure. Go ahead and try and sell me on that.
Well, no, it's just a fun, you know, movie. Even though it's a B movie, it's a fun, you know, it's a fun little film. You know, it's
Corman not film, too, correct?
Yeah, it's a Corman film. You know, it's not too long. It has a lot of people who would be future stars like David Carradine and Martin Cove. You know, it's a cool little, you know, race of, you know, we got the innocent pedestrians and how they tally up points. If it was like a 2-hour movie, then it'd be a different story. But it's only 80 minutes long. You're in and you're out. It's just fun. Especially, you know, from when you're a very young actor starting out, it's a fun movie to be a part of. It's a fun cast. I'm sure they had a blast with that movie back then.
Your thoughts, Donald?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to get in and out on that movie.
And you did.
Not my cup of tea, to be honest. I like the idea of it more than I like the film itself. It's a great idea, but I think they did a better job in the wacky racing with Hanna-Barbera. I really do.
Let me get it. You like the pod race from The Phantom Menace better, don't you?
No. The only thing I liked about The Phantom Menace was the fight with at the end with Darth Maul. And,
well, of course. That's the best part of the movie.
Yeah. The pod race was whatever.
So, yeah, I got to say, Kevin, when I watched that movie one time, I felt incredibly grimy while I was watching it. And that's really not a feeling I want when I'm watching a film.
Like, really? You don't like that?
It's an incredibly nihilistic kind of movie, which I think is the entire
thing. That word, nihilistic, my goodness.
I think that's the point of the movie. I get that. But it's also grimy. Like, there's no redeeming quality in anyone in that entire film. I'm sorry.
It is the 1970s, man. It's that era of grimy filmmaking. Come on now. You got to show some appreciation.
Yeah, watch it again tonight, Kevin. I bet you
I will. I will. All right.
I'm going to move on here. I'm going to go to... Should we do worst or best next, guys?
Worst.
Worst? Donald? Sure. Okay.
Yeah, worst is fine.
Okay. So I have a slash here myself. There's one I will elaborate on and one I will not. The one I will not elaborate on is Rhinestone with Mr. Stallone and Dolly Parton. The idea of Stallone in a film about a country star is just not going to work for anyone. I don't know how he survived that one, to be honest. But the one that's probably more familiar, and I'm going to go with his worst film, is for me is clearly Over the Top.
Ah, that's what I had for his worst. All right. Well, wow. There we go.
Over the top, Kevin, and please feel free to chime in whenever here. Over the top is punishment to watch.
The plot's ridiculous.
It's so B grade. Like Donald mentioned about Cobra, how he was bothered by Cobra's B gradedness. It didn't work for him the way he would want it to. But this was B grade on just a cheap, cheap scale. Like
it was a Cannon film.
Of course.
Yeah, it was a Go-Go Boys film, and Stallone made $17 million on this movie.
He got paid.
Which is unheard. And also, too, like, and I'll let Kevin probably get into, like, the specifics of the actual film itself, but just the overall feeling of it. I mean, it's really hard to like the characters in this movie. Obviously, arm wrestling.
The kid's annoying, too. No offense to the kid. He's annoying.
Ridiculous. Whiny little bitch.
And let me tell you, if you have a D-minus film with an A-plus soundtrack, you did something wrong. Mm. Kevin, what are your thoughts?
Well, it was directed by Menachem Golan, you know, one of the people who ran Cannon.
Yeah?
Where'd you go, Kevin?
And, you know his name. Sounds like a video game, like character, Lincoln Hawk.
Lincoln Hawks have a very
and in fact you have an arm wrestling championship already get a son. I mean, yeah, so there's world arm wrestling championship to get his kid back. It's just so silly. And like I said, in real life, he ain't beating that guy. I'm sorry. In real life, you're not beating that dude. Although it does remind me of that video I sent you, Donald, with the slapping contest from Russia. Some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I can't wait till that sport makes its way over into the U.S.
Oh, I can't wait. I kid you not. Donald, I will buy tickets for it. I will buy tickets and go to it.
Yeah,
I will buy tickets
together.
And go to that. Yeah.
All three of us have made a pact now. We're going to go to the slap contest.
I'll be crying and laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
There's a scene in Over the Top that really pushed me over the top, to be honest with you, when he's got the montage of teaching his son, like on just some random, like play, like turn off on the freeway about arm wrestling. And then the music swells down and he says, "Hey son, life ain't going to meet you halfway." And then the music swells up and goes, meet me halfway. I'm like, it doesn't get any lamer than that. Donald, do you have thoughts on Over the Top?
Come on, man. You got to appreciate those power ballads from the 80s.
I loved Over the Top. I thought it was great. Even as a kid, I thought it was a lot of fun. We got introduced to a lot of interesting characters. I was talking not long ago about the guy that drank motor oil. So anytime we're introduced into fun characterization, fun characters that do really crazy, kooky things, I'm into it. I'm intrigued. So Over the Top didn't bother me at all. I enjoyed it very much, and I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. So did my dad, to be honest. We watched it together, and we both enjoyed it.
Was that because your father imagined himself being Lincoln Hawk and you being his son?
Sure, Kevin. Why not?
And we'll remember, if you win the arm wrestling championship in Las Vegas, you get a brand new semi.
Of course. Isn't that something?
Dude, and Robert Loggia's painful in that film. Sorry.
He is. It's
Donald,
true.
Do you have a worst Stallone movie you'd like to share? There are
It's a golden choice, I'll tell you that much. It's... It's Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. I can't even begin to describe the ignorance that was involved in this film with Estelle Getty and Sylvester Stallone working together to where his mother, she was his mother, and she had a gun, and she knew how to use it. It was just really stupid.
Ridiculous plot, yeah. Just
very poorly done, poorly produced, poorly acted. I saw it once, and I honestly don't mind that I've never seen it since.
I mean, the simple fact that the title comes from a random line in the movie.
Yeah. It's a
bit problematic. Now, what's really unfortunate, in my view, so one of the great teachers of screenwriting. His name is Blake Snyder. He's responsible for the Save the Cat blog when he was alive, and of course the Save the Cat novel, which is a novel I'm actually referencing right now as I write a new screenplay. I admire the abilities of Blake Snyder endlessly. The problem is, he did write Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah.
So it's an unfortunate problem that he
did he write like the original draft, or did he come in like doctor?
He did the original.
Kevin, it's like Siskel and Ebert. It's like, I think it was Roger Ebert that wrote a movie. I can't remember what movie it was.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
And it was terrible. And like, and he's such a critic and so critical of other people's films to create such a piece of shit. It's the same
don't
thing.
Don't tell him that.
Like, people that can comment and people that can tell you what you're doing wrong can't fucking do anything right. And it's like, don't say anything bad unless you have something nice to say or something, but they never, rarely did. And when they did, it was just bullshit. And I just don't understand. I don't understand the movie. I never have. I never liked it, even when I was a kid. Revisited it when I was an adult, thought it was stupid. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot is a big turd. Hands down, big turd.
Kevin, do you have thoughts on Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
No. It's a silly film. It's not like Throw Mama Off the Train. That's a better film.
All right. So we're going to get down to the best film here. So I have to ask you guys, do you guys all have Rocky?
No.
I have one of the Rocky movies.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay. Because I could have easily shifted. This is tough. So I'm going to go with Rocky. Okay. I've watched Rocky so many times. I say what makes the film so great is how quotable it is.
Also, it's not Raging Bull, which is a piece of shit.
Now you're insulting people in the listening audience. You know they're going to be very angry at you, sir.
Suck it, people.
Let me tell you, I could watch Rocky 250 times to every one time I watch Raging Bull.
Agreed.
But that being said, like it was tough because the original Rocky is so quotable. There's so many memorable lines, so many memorable scenes, memorable characters. It's expert in its thing. Now, it's tough because it's a tough call between that and First Blood and Copland.
That's First Blood. Oh, there you go.
I would say those other two films are outstanding.
Especially First Blood.
Yes. So, Donald, are you able to pause the recording?
No.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I'm having a bit of a stomach ache at the moment. But I'm going to go and just say Rocky is the best. I'm going to politely have to excuse myself here for a second.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Hard to do, but I'm going Rocky. So, Kevin, what's your best Stallone film?
You know, it's funny. I was going to do like a slash between First Blood, but also Rocky III. And I think I've told you, Donald, I have a thing for Rocky III, a special place in my heart for Rocky III, because that's the movie that kind of kept the series going in a way. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah. Rocky, you see Rocky make it to the top. And
it had Mr. T in it?
Yeah, it had Mr. T in it. It had Hulk Hogan in it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You know? So what's great about Rocky III to me is it's about humbling Rocky. You know, he finally got to the top. You know, Mick is kind of protecting him, but he didn't know it until the end, you know, towards the end about how, I mean, not towards the end, but towards the end of Mick's life about how he's been throwing like these random mediocre fighters at him to make him think he's better than he actually is.
Yeah.
And also protected him from Clubber Lang, who was like, look, this guy's hungry. He's going to kill you. And of course, Clubber Lang, you know, he wants his shot. He's talking trash. He finally gets his shot. And of course, he beats the hell out of Rocky. Gets knocked down in round two. Yes, and then what's great about it, you have a little plot twist that you have Apollo Creed, his former rival from the first two movies, decides to step in and say, you know what? I'm going to train you, especially after Mick died. I'm going to train you. I'm going to show you a different style on how to retool your boxing skills. And it's so awesome. You know, you kind of had a mesh of some of the stuff that Mick taught him, but also the style that Apollo Creed taught him. And you just see this great comeback of Rocky's character. Like I said, he's down and out. And of course you have that classic song, Eye of the Tiger. I mean, I can listen to that song anytime, and I get, yeah, that's great workout music. I mean, obviously, the original theme to Rocky is also great workout music as well, but Eye of the Tiger is just freaking awesome. You hear that, darn, 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 darn. I mean, it gets you just pumped up.
Absolutely.
So the theme of Rocky III is about, you know, you can get down to the dirt, but if you just put the effort in and you work hard, you could get back and rise up back to the top.
Yeah, and, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, get back to the top. And, of course, the second match against Clubber Lang was pretty cool, too. I mean, he's basically using ring psychology. The thing I liked most about that fight was he obviously took something from Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope strategy against George Foreman. That's basically what Clubber Lang is. Clubber Lang was just like a fictional version of George Foreman, essentially. This unstoppable machine until he was finally outsmarted.
Well, Kevin, to put this in a vacuum, I think what's kind of important about Rocky III is Rocky II, to me, aside from the last fight, despite the fact it really developed the story heavily, was a really weak sequel in my view. And I think you needed to get the excitement back up for Rocky. And Rocky,
and that's what III did.
It was an action film, but it also had really great story, drama, acting.
Yep.
It was a fine film. I can't agree with you more. It's a great choice.
Thank you.
Donald, thoughts on
Rocky? Donald, what's your thoughts?
Well, if you like that choice, you're going to love mine. I chose Demolition Man, guys.
All right. That's not too bad.
Yeah. We're going to get a sequel of that sometime soon as well. So apparently people agree with me. Also, not more than, 2 years ago, Taco Bell decided to do a pop-up of Demolition Man at San Diego Comic-Con. So
That's true.
There's some heat behind this. It also had an amazing Academy Award-winning actress in the role of the second lead. It had, what's her name? Jesus, I'm so sorry. Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
As Lenina Huxley.
Right. And Rob Schneider was in this one, too.
Rob Schneider seems to have to make his appearances in all these movies.
You can't go wrong with the three seashells, guys. You got to learn to clean your ass somehow in this COVID world we live in. And if there's no toilet paper, the seashells are the way to do it.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I was saying, Demolition Man is such a strange film to me. And what I mean by strange is we see so many films today that take place in, you know, absurd locations. Thank the CGI and all this kind of stuff. All those sets were built to represent the future. So it, in some ways, it has a very dated, bizarre, futuristic look to it. But Wesley Snipes was fantastic in it. Robert Raynaud, who also wrote Action Jackson, which Kevin is fond of, did a very nice job writing that script. And it's the last big script, I believe, that he wrote. So we'll always remember old Robert Raynaud for The Demolition Man.
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed. Demolition Man was a fun experience, a fun story. It taught us a different way to have sex, to where there's no communicated sexually transmitted diseases, so to speak. You don't get any of that. A very clean atmosphere. If you get into a wreck, it's very easy to not hurt yourself. There's a lot of foam involved, so to speak. Dennis Leary will teach you how to eat rats. It's just an all-around, very fun, very good film, and I think it's one of his best. It's also underrated, too, I think. You know, I love Sylvester Stallone as an actor. As far as like when he's in his element, when he's outside of it, he doesn't do so well. Demolition Man kind of skirted that a little bit. It was a science fiction action flick with Wesley Snipes. And it took place in what, 1997, guys?
In the beginning, it takes place in 1996. Then I believe it goes to 2032.
Yeah. So there we go. So it's got some past and some future. And it came out before 96, 97. So that was the fun part. So once it hit that, you were like, oh, no, here we go. This is when everything went to hell. I think they missed the mark. It was 2020 they should have put in the film. But regardless, I think that's a great film. And I think that's going to wrap us up here, guys. I think we're all done. So thank everybody for listening. Thanks for reaching out. What podcast platforms can they find us on, gentlemen?
SoundCloud, Blueberry, iTunes, Google Play. obviously YouTube, Spreaker,
Radio,
Stitcher, iHeartRadio.
iRadio, yep.
All iTunes, kinds, TuneIn Radio, all kinds of podcast platforms to find us on. If you can't find us, there's no excuse. We're everywhere, guys.
Spotify.
Yes, find us, reach out to us on Instagram, Facebook. We have pages on there. If you have questions, just shoot them out to us. YouTube, you can hit us up on there as well. So thank you for turning out. My name is Donald.
My name is Supreme Chancellor Dr. Kevin.
And we see you out and about, hopefully someday we will see you
at the spacious, righteous, and luscious comic book shop.
Good night, everybody.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.